Welcome to the Prosperous Piano Teacher Podcast. I'm Ashley Young, pianist, instructor, and business coach, and I'm here to help you dream big about what your studio could be if you are willing to open your mind and level up your business skills. I'm going to share the tangible strategies that I've learned for streamlining and scaling your studio so that you can align your business to work for your life instead of letting your business control your life. I am so happy that you're here. Let's dive in. Hey there, before we dive into today's episode, I wanted to make a quick announcement. I have a brand new business coaching package that I am opening up to two people in the next couple of weeks. This coaching package is definitely not for everyone. This is for those of you that already are collecting leads and growing your email address. This is for those of you that have ideas of courses that you want to create, or those of you that have already created courses, but you would like help learning how to market and sell those courses in more effective ways. This is for those of you that really want to level up your messaging and your marketing and make sure that as you try to create passive income with a course, that you're doing so in a way that is scalable and that you're doing so in a way that will lead you to success because you know how to market and sell that course. This package is going to be 8 sessions. And over the course of the 8 sessions, which don't necessarily meet every single week, we are going to get you help either creating your course or putting your course up on Kajabi. We're going to help you work on your live launching skills, your marketing, your messaging, growing your email list so that you constantly have new leads coming in that will be interested in what you're selling, and so much more. This package is going to include support between those 8 sessions via an app called Telegram. It's going to include access to scripts, templates, sales sequence emails, and everything that you need in order to have success with the launch and creation and promotion and selling of your course. And it's going to have exclusive Kajabi technical support from me and also my team. And my assistant is an amazing Kajabi expert. You will also have a chance to guest here on the podcast. So before we dive into today's episode, if this is something that you're interested in, pull up my DMs on Instagram, Ashley Young Music Studio, shoot me a message and we can chat about if this is a good fit for you. I can send you more details and ask you some questions to see if it would be a good fit. Again, it's not for everybody. And I don't even have a landing page up for this yet. It's just a new package that I'm so excited to offer. And I know that a couple of you are going to hear this and know that it is a fit for you. DM me and we'll chat. All right, now let's dive into the episode.
Hello, hello, and welcome into another episode of The Prosperous Piano Teacher.
I am Ashley, and I am very, very excited to dive into today's topic. We are going to debunk the myth of likes, shares, and follows. We are going to talk about the truth about vanity metrics and what actually matters in your business. Because when it comes to social media, when it comes to any kind of content that you're putting out in the world, whether it's social media or email marketing or your landing page, it's really easy to get caught up in the vanity metrics. And what I mean by vanity metrics, and we'll dive deeper into this, is like how many likes you're getting, how many followers you have, how many people are sharing your content. And these numbers can be exciting, they can be invigorating, but they are not the numbers that matter when it comes to actually increasing your revenue in your business. There's actually many more layers that you need to dive into when you think about how you can use content as a tool to bring in more income into your business. And so that's what we're going to dive into. I'm going to share a little bit more about what vanity metrics are and what makes a vanity metric. And I'm going to do this through explaining. And then I'm also going to give you 2 concrete examples of what I mean, where I walk you through like what the vanity metric of the example would be and then what the actual metrics that matter would be when it comes to creating more income in your business. Now, as we dive into this topic, I want to make one announcement. So my recording has gotten a little bit funky, my schedule, in the last couple of weeks because I've had a few guests on, which has been really exciting, and I have a few more guests coming on. And also, I've been doing a little bit of just the season of life that I'm in. I've been doing a little bit of like recording a couple of episodes ahead of time and then recording episodes more towards the deadline. So I've made a couple of announcements in the last couple of podcast episodes about a new coaching package that I have. And it's so funny because I recorded those announcements and I had those episodes ready to go. And then I actually ended up filling coaching spots before those episodes even went out. So I am here with an update. You are hearing this on April 15th. I am recording this at the very end of March. And as of right now, I maybe have
one coaching spot for my new coaching package. Maybe I already filled two spots and I'm thinking about adding a third, but it will depend on you and if it's a fit and if we can work out the scheduling of this package. These packages are 8 sessions, but they span a much greater length of time. I have been giving the timeline of like about 6 months, and how long you want that to take will depend. Now between your sessions, you get support on Telegram and you get a lot of assets and audits and copy reviews between your sessions as well. These sessions are for people that are really ready to go to that next level as far as content creation goes and increasing revenue in their business. These packages are for people that are really ready to either put the finishing touches on a course, or, you know, kind of like restructure an existing course so that it's even more desirable, and people that are ready to develop a launch strategy for those courses. So if this sounds like you and you're like, oh my gosh, I need to grab that last spot, message me on Instagram, and just reach out to me and let me know. Like I said, I will likely have one spot that is potentially kicking off in May, doing onboarding in beginning of May. Then we'll have like a little bit of a looser summer, which will work well with this package because it'll take time in between every session to be able to creatively complete the things that we are doing in the sessions. Okay, so let's dive into this topic. Now, this is something that I'm really passionate about because I started on this journey several years ago and I was totally caught up with vanity metrics. I just started a YouTube channel. Many of you know that I started a YouTube channel, and I would like to say that I started it with like this intention of growing an amazing business, but I was young and naive and I didn't have that longer term vision. I really just wanted to start a YouTube channel and monetize it. So I was very caught up on like how many subscribers I had and how many views of each video and all of that kind of stuff. And as I have gone along this journey, I've learned that there's so much more than meets the eye when it comes to the metrics and the analytics that you're seeing with your content creation. So when you start to dive in to like what your actual business goals are and what the purpose of your content is, that's going to give you a much clearer idea of what the metrics are or the analytics are that you should be paying attention to. Okay, so you have to know your overall goal. Oops, sorry, that was my phone. Your overall goal with your content in order to know which metrics and which analytics to look like. Now, it can be really helpful to look at your own analytics and to refer back to your content very frequently, because when you notice that you're doing something that is working and is actually moving the needle towards that overall goal, you want to like double down on that and keep doing it, right? And so we're going to talk about that a little bit as well in these examples that I'm going to give you. So let's dive a little deeper into vanity metrics. When you are just looking at numbers and taking them at face value, that is what I call a vanity metric. And this is something, if you would have asked me like 5 years ago, if I would be talking to people about numbers and data and metrics and analytics, I would have laughed in someone's face because I used to, at least my old identity, I didn't consider myself to be a numbers person. I've never been the type of person that was like super obsessed with math or anything like that. But I'm going to say something that I never would have thought that I would say, but numbers tell a story, right? All of the numbers tell a story. And when we just look at a number and we take it literally, or we take it at face value, we're really doing a disservice to ourselves as business owners, because we're not telling the whole story by just looking at one number from one point of view. So let's take a couple of little examples to illustrate like what a vanity metric is. And then I'm going to take you through two larger examples to kind of show you the whole story. So when we look at examples of vanity metrics, a great example would be pulling up someone's Instagram account and noticing that they have 30,000 followers and making the assumption that because they have 30,000 followers, they must sell a lot of courses. Okay, so let's say you find an Instagram account and maybe it's a health coach, right? And they have 30,000 followers and you're like, wow, this person is super successful. And you notice that they have a course for sale and you just assume that they sell a lot of courses because they have a lot of followers. Followers do not equal customers. Okay. And that's really important to know when you are stuck in that vicious cycle of like maybe comparing yourself to someone else. But it's also really important to know so that you are not, what is the word I'm looking for? So that you're not like disappointed, right? In thinking that the goal on Instagram is to get a lot of followers. That's not the goal. I mean, maybe that's the goal if you want to like throw up an affiliate link here and there and like make some affiliate income. But even then, I would say followers is never the goal because followers doesn't really mean anything unless you're doing something to nurture those followers, unless you are creating community, unless you're building trust, unless you are really engaging. So followers do not equal customers. Okay, that's our first example. I'm going to give you another example. Another example would be looking at a YouTube channel that has 100,000 subscribers and assuming that they make a lot of ad revenue from YouTube. So, for those of you that don't know, once you monetize your YouTube channel, YouTube will pay you ad revenue from the ads that they show on your videos. And if you see someone that has a lot of subscribers on their YouTube channel and you assume that they're making a lot of ad revenue, that's not necessarily true, right? Because 100,000 subscribers, depending on what metric it is that you're trying to account for, can absolutely be a vanity metric. So let's say you go to their channel and you notice that all of their videos are getting around 1,000 views. Now we have a little bit of a different picture because we have that initial number of 100,000 subscribers, which is high. But then if each video is only getting 1,000 views, that actually means, like, think about that. That means that 1% of their audience is watching their videos. And depending on the goal of the YouTube channel, and we'll dive a little more into this when I talk about my goal for my YouTube channel, that's not accomplishing, likely that's not accomplishing the goal, right? And if they're only getting 1,000 views per video, YouTube is not paying them very much for ad revenue because ad revenue is calculated on how long you can get people to watch the video and how many people are watching the video. And the more people that watch the video, yes, the more ad revenue that you'll get, but only if they're sticking around and watching the whole video and they have a chance to watch it long enough to be shown the ad, right? So while you initially looked at that YouTube channel and thought, wow, 100,000 subscribers, they must be making a ton of ad revenue. With a little bit of digging, even if you can't see their analytics, you can start to see the reality of some of those YouTube channels that might initially have looked like they were super successful if you're just looking at a vanity metric like subscribers. Now, I'll leave you with one more example before we dive into the other two more specific examples that we'll talk about. But another example of vanity metrics is like anytime you see a piece of clickbait type content. So like a viral reel that gets millions of views doesn't necessarily mean that that person is getting a lot of followers from that reel. And even if they were getting a lot of followers from that reel, based off of my first example, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're doing anything to nurture those followers or to turn those followers into customers. So if you come across a reel that has, millions of views and you're kind of making those assumptions and thinking like, oh my gosh, this person is super successful or this person's whole life is going to change because they had one viral piece of content, it's not necessarily the case. So those are examples of vanity metrics, essentially metrics that are just there for vanity. They don't mean more revenue. They don't mean longevity in your business. They don't mean creating relationships with customers that will be back over and over and over again. They're just big numbers that seem really cool from a vanity standpoint. Okay. Now, like I said in the beginning of the episode, any sort of metric or analytic is only as helpful as the level of clarity that you have about your goals and about what the purpose of the content is. Okay, so I'm gonna give you an example. In the last couple of months, I have been experimenting a lot on Instagram. And part of that is because I am working to see what works and what doesn't work when it comes to selling my course, Secrets to Sight Reading. I've talked about that course a lot here on the podcast. I talked about it in the episode where we debunked the passive income myth, and that course has now been selling in the background for the past couple of months. And it's really cool to have course sales come in. And of course, I am working and strategizing to increase the number of course sales that are coming in on a regular basis. So, what I've been doing is creating a lot of content on Instagram. Very, very consistently. I've been batching it. I'm in a season right now where I am batching content because I'm basically posting every single day to promote that course, Secrets to Sight Reading. Now, we're not going to get too deep into that. Like I've talked about batching content. It's not my favorite way to do it, but that's just the season I'm in right now. So my goal is to sell courses, right? And I'm using Instagram right now. I'm also using YouTube, but we're going to talk about Instagram right now. I'm using Instagram to kind of experiment with that. And experimenting with the kind of content that I produce, the kind of content that I put out to see like what works. Now, the way that this customer journey works is that people will see a piece of content on Instagram, and the call to action on that piece of content is going to be to, you know, comment below for a free workshop about sight reading. And this sight reading workshop gives a lot of free value. It's going to help them get a lot of like a big quick win so that they have a much better idea of what they can do in their sight reading practice to really elevate their skill set when it comes to sight reading. Now, that free workshop also pitches the course at the end. And so if I kind of think about that customer journey, my goal is to sell courses. I have a free workshop that will get people wins and warm them up and sell the course. And so I want to get as many people to opt in to grab that free workshop as possible. So all of the content that I'm producing right now on Instagram is leading people to that free workshop, right? And the metrics that really matter are not just how many people comment and say that they want the free workshop, but another important metric would be then like, out of the people that comment and say they want the free workshop, how many of them actually end up giving their email address and getting the free workshop? And then beyond that, how many people give their email address and get the free workshop and then actually watch the free workshop, right? And then of course, how many people that watch the free workshop end up buying the course? So there's actually a lot of steps in this customer journey, and it's not just about how many views the Instagram reel is getting. Okay, because I want a lot of people to view the reel, but they also need to read the caption, which tells them about the free workshop. They need to comment to get the free workshop. They need to give their email address to get the free workshop and then watch the free workshop. So there's many metrics in there, right? And at every single point in that little funnel, if you will, I can look at the metrics and know where things are breaking down. Because if I don't get any views on the reel, one, the piece of content wasn't very good. And maybe the reel got a ton of views, but it didn't get any comments. Okay, it didn't achieve the goal. Maybe it got a ton of views, a ton of comments, a ton of people gave their email address, but none of those people actually watched the video, right? And then I know, okay, so the content worked, but there's something about the video. So all of these little pieces and all of these little points where I can look at the metrics are really, really, really helpful. So I want to tell you something that recently happened because I was diving into my own content to look at what is working and what is not working. And when you are creating content, it's a great idea to look at your content and other people's content to see what's working, but you have to know again which metrics you're looking at. So an example of this is that I have two reels right now. And this is at the time of recording this episode. So depending on when you are watching this, these metrics are going to change. But at the time of recording this episode, I have two reels that are pinned to my profile. Both are promoting the sight reading workshop, and they both have around 60,000 views. Okay. And it was cool and it was exciting when they got that many views, because that's the most most views that I've had on Instagram reels ever. And so that was exciting. And it would be easy for me to look at those two pieces of content and to say like, woohoo, I'm awesome. Like I did it. I got a ton of views on those reels and the sales for my course should just roll in now. Right? And younger me, like 3 years ago, I would have done that. I totally would have thought that like, if I had a reel that got a ton of views, all of a sudden my course would be selling like magic. But that's not how it works, because we just talked about that funnel and all the various points and the various important metrics that we need to look at. So views, like we said before, are a vanity metric. And what matters, I would say the next most important thing after getting people to watch the reel is getting people to actually opt in and comment to give their email address to watch the workshop. So there's two pieces of content that each have 60,000 views, but get this, one of them had 180 comments. Okay. So that includes my comment replies. So probably like 90 people that were like, yes, I want to watch that free workshop. The other one, 560. So which piece of content was actually better for my business? Obviously the one with more comments. Now, I did not, at the end of this month, in just a few days, I'm going to be looking over my data that tells me, okay, so out of all of the people that commented on the Instagram videos and requested the free workshop, how many of them actually converted to giving the email address? And then how many of those people actually watched the video? So I don't have those pieces of the puzzle quite yet, because as I mentioned, this is a grand experiment. But so far with the metrics that I have, one of those pieces of content is clearly significantly more effective than the other one. So when I go to create content next week and I go to batch my content, I'm going to pull up my Instagram and I'm going to look at, okay, the reel that had 180 comments, It's good. I mean, it's good, but it's not actually that good. If you take into account 60,000 views and 180 comments, I'm not going to do the math right now, but the conversion rate of that actually isn't super high. So I'm likely not going to use that same reel or that same text. I might use something similar and maybe try to change it a little bit to see if I can get more comments. But the reel that has 560 comments, you better believe that I'm going to take that reel and I'm going to use everything about that reel to recreate like a lot more pieces of content that have elements of that pieces of content in it. Okay. And that way I can try to replicate that same thing where not only do I get a piece of content that gets a lot of new eyes on it, but also a piece of content that converts to people actually requesting the free workshop. So I hope that that example really, really illustrates the difference between a vanity metric and a metric that actually moves the needle in your business and helps you work towards your goal of more income or more clients or whatever that end goal is. In this case, the goal is selling more courses, right? Okay. I'm going to give you one other example. Now, the other example, we're going to talk about YouTube. So when it comes to my YouTube channel, my goal with YouTube is twofold. The first goal is to increase ad revenue, right? So I want to get as many views on videos as possible. And I also want to get as many people sticking around as possible because that's going to result in a higher ad revenue. But then the second part of my goal, that overlaps with getting people to stick around is that I really want to nurture and retain subscribers because I don't like, I even hate the word subscriber. I don't want to just like look at my subscribers on YouTube and think like, oh wow, this many people follow me. I actually want to build community with those people. I want to get them into my Facebook group. I want to nurture them. And even if they never become a customer, I want to build like a huge supportive and encouraging piano community, right? And so I look at my YouTube subscribers not just as numbers, but as people that I want to nurture and retain. And so in addition to getting new viewers and a high number of views on my videos, I want to make sure that the content that I'm creating not only appeals to a new audience, but also keeps my current audience happy and continues to nurture them and continues to help them feel like I provide a lot of value so they want to come back. Okay. And so, as we already talked about in the beginning of the episode, subscribers don't matter. They're a vanity metric. If you're just looking at subscribers, it's purely a vanity metric. We want to know, how many subscribers are returning to your channel for each video? How many views is each video getting? But even more important, how long are people sticking around to watch that video? If you look in the back end of YouTube Analytics, it'll show you an actual graph of every single video, like second by second. And you can see within the first 30 seconds of your video, are 50% of the people dropping off? Are 80% of the people dropping off? We want to make sure that people are sticking around for as long, as much of the video as possible, and that a lot of people are watching the video. Okay. The other metric that I really care about is how much ad revenue is each video getting. Now that is calculated by how long people are sticking around and how many people are watching the video. But how much ad revenue is each video getting if that's a part of your overall strategy? Now, beyond that, with YouTube, there's a ton of other analytics, and I'm going to be diving more into this. I'm going to bring a fellow YouTuber on here in a couple of weeks, and we're going to really dive deep into a lot of this. But other metrics that would matter with YouTube is like, what is your click-through rate? So how is your thumbnail doing, and how is the title hooking people? And you don't want to be clickbaity here, right? Like you want to actually create a thumbnail and create a title that really gets people interested, but also doesn't overpromise or isn't lying because then they're not going to stick around and watch, right? So those are all very, very important metrics. And I often will research other YouTube channels and I talk a lot to other YouTube creators. I've met several of them in the last few years, and it's really cool to look at people's channels and notice what's working for them, notice what's working for you. And like I said earlier, it can be really easy to fall into the trap of being really impressed when someone has a lot of subscribers, right? But the example that I used from earlier in this episode, where I can't tell you how often I go to research a channel and I'm initially like, oh, wow, they have like triple the amount of subscribers as me. But then I start to look at their videos and I'm like, oh, but their videos are getting a really low number of views compared to the level of subscribers they have. And so that tells me that I'm actually not going to spend a lot of time researching channels like that. I'm not going to use channels or videos from channels like that for inspiration because that goes directly against my goal, right? My goal is to have a lot of subscribers so I can build community. But more importantly, I actually want to make sure I'm nurturing my current subscribers and making sure that they are returning for videos and making sure that my videos are getting a high level of views and that people are sticking around for a long time. So I don't want to go to channels that have a high number of subscribers and a low number of views because that directly goes against that goal. And I want you to think about the same thing, not only when it comes to looking at your own analytics and metrics, but when it comes to looking at other content creators or other business owners and using them as inspiration, right? I don't think nobody should ever like copy anyone, but we all look to other people for inspiration. And that's totally fine. That I encourage people to do that. It helps you find your unique voice because it helps you find out like what you like. But actually, more importantly, what happens when you start to look to other creators is you start to get a little more solidified in your own convictions about like, wait a minute, I don't agree with that. Or wait a minute, that's actually different than what I do. And this is why I do it the way I do it. So it can really help you become like even more of an authority with what you are teaching or what you are promoting or what you are selling. So look to other creators for inspiration and to help you stand a little bit more in your power of your beliefs and your convictions, but know what you're looking for. Okay. What is your goal of posting on Instagram? What is your goal of posting on YouTube and any other platform or any other emails that you're sending out or your landing pages? Make sure that when you look at the numbers, you are not getting caught up in the vanity metrics. Okay. You need to look at your metrics and help find the entire story of, okay, is this platform or is this content serving my overall purpose for my overall goal with my business to increase revenue or to increase the number of clients that I'm getting or whatever it is that your goal is? So I hope this episode was really, really helpful. I know this is something, it felt like it took me a long time to learn this. And with every stage of business, I learn it in a different way because, you know, as I level up my business skills, I start to learn more and more about analytics and more about the metrics that really matter and the metrics that don't matter. And I'm diving in now. I mean, it's a little bit wild. Like one of my other experiments right now with Secrets to Site Reading is like, how does the landing page convert people to the free workshop versus using an automation on social media where people comment below and then it gathers their email address and messenger. And that's one of my big experiments that I will report back to you on, but like really geeking out. So not only looking at the various points in the funnel of like where people are dropping off, but then looking at the various points in the funnel, depending on the path that they are taking, right? Did they find me on Instagram and they're going through like an automation in Messenger to get that free workshop? Or did they come from YouTube and they commented and they got the link to the landing page and they're being converted on the landing page? Because when I know those conversion numbers, then I can tweak each of those things to get higher conversion numbers, right? And so at each level of business, you start to learn different levels of metrics and analytics that matter to get you towards your ultimate goal, but you have to know that ultimate goal. So if you like this episode, if you found it helpful, please consider rating and reviewing the podcast. It helps get this out to many more people. And it's been really exciting lately that we've had a lot of people listening to the podcast that are not only in the piano space. I've had other music teachers listening. I've had other service-based entrepreneurs that are listening, and it's really, really, really exciting. So please continue to rate, review, share. It takes like 30 seconds to share a link, and you might help one of your friends out like in a really, really big way or give them some ahas. It takes another like minute to write a review for the podcast. I read all of them. I share them on Instagram. They literally make me walk on cloud nine for like that entire week when I get reviews on the podcast. So I would really appreciate that. And then last announcement, if you are interested in affiliate opportunities for the Secrets to Site Reading digital course or for Casual to Confident Piano Player, I made the announcement a couple of weeks ago. I have opened up an affiliate program for that. And I would love to chat more with you about it. If that's something that you're interested in, you can go ahead and message me on Instagram. It's a process where you get a percentage of sales if you want to help me promote courses when I am either in an active promotion period or if that's something that you want to make a regular part of your passive income strategy. So please reach out to me on Instagram if you're interested in that. You are amazing. I hope that you have a fantastic week. I will talk to you next week. And you're amazing. You can do it. You can do this. Take the next step. Bye, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. I love connecting with open-minded business owners from all over the world. As you know, a studio policy is one of the most important assets of your business, and a good studio policy will save you time and energy. For this reason, I created a free PDF with a list of 3 ways that you can level up your studio policy right now. To grab the free PDF, head on over to ashleyjyoung.com/levelup, and the link is in the show notes as well. Talk to you soon.